Today our scripture lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, where we begin to hear the story of the developing life of the early church as Jesus ascends to heaven and leaves his disciples to begin the work that is before them. Join me now for a prayer for illumination as we prepare our hearts to receive this gift of God's word. O God, help us attend to your word patiently and persistently. Waiting is not always our strong suit, so calm us and ready us to receive the needed power from on high to bear witness to Christ and the world today. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Listen, hear the word of God as it comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In this first book, Theophilus, I wrote to you all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Friends, this is the word of God and it abides forever. Thanks be to God. I want us to think a little bit about what it means to live in the in-between times. This past Thursday marked the day of remembrance for Jesus' ascension into heaven. That Thursday was Ascension Day. He did this after his post-resurrection visitations among the disciples, in which he spent time readying them for their continuation of his earthly ministry. The ascension of Jesus marked his earthly exit following a final in the flesh get together with the disciples. Jesus renewed the disciples called to mission and ministry, and he challenged them to wait patiently on the power that he would provide in order for them to begin the work of taking the gospel into all the world. The ascension of Jesus, his liftoff, if you will, heavenward, right before their very eyes, was by no means the end of the story of Jesus Christ, nor was it the end of his kingdom building, mission, and ministry. For before departing, Jesus reminded the disciples of all the promised power that was soon to come. It was coming in the form of an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who would empower them for the kingdom building work that was just about to unfold before them, starting where they were in Jerusalem, but then like ripples in the water, working its way out to all the corners of the earth. Power is a word we all like, and it carries many shades of meaning for us. Most of us like the idea of having power or being in power. We especially like it, excuse me, if we feel like we're going to be the ones in power who have control over others. Carlo Coretto, in his book entitled I Sought and I Found, writes that even in church, we can misconstrue the ministry, banding together to count ourselves as Christians, to be the ones in power, to be the ones who see ourselves as somehow superior to others who are not. We at times play a numbers game. Motivated by pride, we seek ever-increasing numbers so that we feel increasingly strong. We come to believe that our strength and our efforts can carry us, and that in coming together, our causes will surely be triumphant. Coretto's point is that we in the church are not spared the perversion of power. We too can easily be overcome by our pride and start seeking power purely for our own purposes. When this is the case, we will be ineffective at spreading the gospel because our strength is simply not sufficient, and we will fail miserably in the task of ministry. Coretto says, friends, life is hard. Well, we understand something about that, don't we? He also says the gospel is hard. Jesus makes terrible demands on us, and not even the church. The church itself, the bride of Christ, is altogether safe from the danger of power, pride, lust, and ownership. Always remember, he says, your real strength will never be in numbers, but in your fidelity to God's word and to the cross of Jesus Christ. If we set out in our own strength to save the world or to share good news, we're liable to get off track because we'll come to believe in our own strength, and we'll start believing that we can do all things in our own power. But what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said the disciples needed a power outside this world, the power of God that was going to be given to them if they waited, power that would enable them to be about his work and his mission. And he said for them to do the hardest thing for us at times to do, which is to wait. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you have been clothed in power from on high. They weren't properly dressed for the work before them, but he was preparing to send them the outfit they needed, an outfit fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is the key to faithful service, going forth clothed with power from on high. The Spirit would provide the power of God to sustain them in their work, and the Spirit would continue the presence and influence of Jesus Christ in their lives and in the world. This is a promise fulfilled. When we gather again next Sunday, we will be celebrating Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to celebrate our church's birthday on the birth of the church day also. It's the day in which the Spirit came into the very hearts and lives of the apostles of Jesus Christ, and all those who heard the gospel proclaimed for the first time in their own language and were stirred of heart to respond by giving their lives to the cause of Christ. Power in our hands can easily corrupt. It can corrupt our homes, our businesses, even our churches and our lives. But power from on high enriches and enlivens Christ followers for our day-to-day living in the home, and in the church, and in the world. We so easily pervert and corrupt power, but the power that has brought us the message of salvation and the power that helps us proclaim the good news is the very power of God that remains undefiled and pure. It's the same power of which it is said, in the power of the Spirit, Jesus himself withdrew to Galilee after his encounter with the devil. He wasn't functioning in his own power and strength, but by the power of the Spirit of God within him. It's the very power that flowed through Jesus when he healed people. It's the power that was promised to the disciples and to all believers who would come after him when he said, I will enable you to do the things I've done and even greater things. The Apostle Paul would later say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And this promised power was to come to the very first disciples and the first converts in Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be the starting point for the living word of God to spread throughout the world. Jesus that day led the disciples outside the city to Bethany, a community on the Mount of Olives. And there he lifted his hands towards heaven and he blessed his disciples. He had spent his entire ministry sharing the blessings of God with a wicked and needy people. And now as he was preparing to leave, he blessed those who were nearest and dearest to him. And he bestows a blessing upon them for their lives and their upcoming ministry. And as he was blessing them with his hands raised, he was lifted up and away and transported up through the clouds. He was going home to be with his heavenly Father, to sit with God in glory. Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians that Jesus had humbled himself, giving up his place in glory, in order to come obediently and live among us as God with us, God among us, and to bear that for us all the way to the cross. And because of his life of obedience, God exalted him to the highest place of glory and gave him a name that is above all names, such that at the name of Jesus, someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. When the disciples witnessed Jesus ascend into heaven, they bowed down and they worshiped him, and then they were just staring upward in disbelief. Their belief, their faith, their convictions were now being confirmed. And they bowed in praise and wonder and worshiped their living and glorified Lord. And then at the instruction of those two visitors, believed to be angels, they left that place. And they followed the instructions to go and wait in the temple in Jerusalem. Night and day, they praised and worshiped the Lord, and they waited. And they waited, and they waited for the promised power from above that Jesus assured them was coming. No longer would Jesus be recognized as he had been in his resurrected body. No longer is Jesus only limited to being in one place at one time. Now, where God is, which is everywhere, Jesus is as well. And Jesus is sent to be among us in a universal way. Christ is now among us as one who is high and lifted up and glorified fully. Hereafter, Jesus will be known to us in such simple acts as the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup of communion, and through what Christ himself promised, power that would come upon us from on high. Now, through the Spirit, Jesus would be with and within his followers as we share the gospel, as we share in the transforming work that Jesus has done and is still doing with and within each of us day by day. We gather today in worship acknowledging that we still need that same promised power from on high. We need that same empowerment in order to follow Jesus faithfully and to serve our glorified Christ. Like the first disciples, we as the church cannot possess Christ, even though Christ is always among us. Our task today is to discern the presence of Christ here among us and also to look around us into the larger world and to see Christ at work there as well. By Christ's universal presence, we have access to what we need to be the people that God wants us to be. and to do the things that God wants done in this local church and through this local church in the surrounding community and the larger world that we are a part of. The scriptures are our guidebook, and we're given the clue that Christ is always out ahead of us. And we're informed by the traditions and teachings of our past and the rich history of our church and our denomination. But we are invited forward into that unfolding future to meet Christ who has gone before us. Jesus may be physically out of sight, and yet he is ever present. And there's more mission and ministry, more life-changing opportunities for us to share in his name. We are right to worship and adore him, but we must also be willing to claim our birthright as those who are born of both water and spirit. I remember a statement that said, "Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good." And I think this is where those messengers looked at the disciples who were kind of staring upward and said, "Time to refocus your efforts around you where the work of Christ will continue to be done." Friends, we are blessed with power from on high. God's wonder-working power, the very power of love that created us, so that by God's power we may live the gospel life and share the amazing grace and love of God with anyone and with everyone whom we encounter along life's journey. Please bow with me for a prayer. Show us your glory, dear Lord Jesus. Give us the grace to see you more clearly, to follow you more nearly, and to love you more dearly. Even when you are with us in ways we do not expect or always understand, we shall be able to follow you here in the valley if we can see you. We shall be able to endure the terrors of the darkness if we can walk in your light. So show us your dwelling presence, your Shekinah glory, God with us, even now. And again I say, how good of God. Hallelujah. Amen.